I want to speak this morning about a life placed in the hands of God. We're going to be looking at Psalm 16. So if you have a Bible with you, you can turn there so long. And looking at all the blessings that flow from placing our lives fully in God's hand. But just as we get there, would you pray with me briefly? Father, we're so thankful for this morning, this day. We get to celebrate your grace and kindness to us. Another day for us to remember the gospel. God, we're thankful for the power of your word, and we pray that you would have your way among us this morning. Come help us remember the gospel, see the gospel, see the grace of Jesus toward us, and help us place our lives fully in your hands once again, the faithful hands of our King Jesus. Amen. All right. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen as well, but I'll read from us. I'll read for us Psalm 16. Protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have nothing good besides you. As for the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones. All my delight is in them. The sorrows of those who take another god for themselves will multiply. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, and I will not speak their names with my lips. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me, even at night when my thoughts trouble me. I will always let the Lord guide me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. What a good psalm this morning. And this is another psalm of King David. And what he's doing in this psalm is really helpful for us. He is reminding himself of the reasons he has to hope in God. He's like rehearsing the truths of God over his life, grabbing onto truths to help his heart rest and rejoice in God. As he recalls and reminds and tells himself again of why he can be confident in God, there's something changing in him. And it's fascinating to see how this works in his life, the effect of remembering what it has on him. See, in verse 1, he comes out and says, protect me, God. And he spends the rest of the psalm unpacking why he can rest in the faithfulness of God. And a few verses later, after he's been doing that for a while, verse 8, he concludes, because God is at my right hand, I will never be shaken. Showing himself the reasons he has to be confident. And you might have your own reasons to be confident this morning in God's grace and kindness. And that's kind of what we heard with the testimonies of these guys getting baptized. It's just a grace party. And this psalm continues for us. It mentions all of these things with reference to God. It mentions safety, blessing, relationship, guidance, contentment, delight, preservation, praise, hope, salvation, joy, eternal pleasures. I could keep the list going. It's a grace party. It gives us reasons we can rest and rejoice because God cares for us and he's with us. And so here's what I want to do this morning as we look at a life placed in the hands of God. I wanted to look at, just unpacking this psalm, five blessings of a life placed in the hands of God. And I'll unpack it as we go through the text. The first blessing is that Christians know God's presence as a refuge. As I said, this is a psalm of King David here. And we don't quite know his circumstance or situation, but we can see from the opening line that something is happening in his heart. He's feeling shaken. He's feeling worried. There's something coming up against him. And so he cries out, protect me, God. for I take refuge in you. He's saying, God, guard me, keep me safe. And these postures of the heart are not far from us, right? We often feel worried and anxious. There's much to be shaken by, and there's a lot to stress about. And what's so helpful for us this morning as we look at this is that David is taking all of these things to God. And there's a question for us there. What do you do with your worry? I know me, what do I do with my worry? I've got a few tactics. Sometimes it's just denial. I'll just pretend it doesn't exist and, you know, ignore it until it disappears. It's not very successful, as you can imagine. Sometimes I'll try devising. If I can come up with a plan and strategize my way out of worry, maybe then that'll do it. Obviously, it comes with mixed success. Sometimes it's just distraction. Just pick up my phone, watch sport, whatever it is, and I'll entertain myself and escape my way out of worry, but it never really works. You may have your own strategies. This psalm is showing us that there is a better way. And what David is showing us here is so important. See, he directs his worry to God. He's not minimizing it or managing it. He's taking it all straight to God. He really believes that God is willing and able to help him and to draw near. And so he cries out, keep me safe, God, because I'm taking refuge in you. He's running to God as his refuge. So in times of uncertainty and pressure come, we will all naturally look for security in something, right? That's what a refuge does. It's a place of safety when you feel shaken. It's a source of comfort when everything is going wrong. It's a source of hope in times of trouble. It's something you look to anchor you when you feel shaken and anxious and unsettled. And so the question there for us is, what do you look to as a refuge? David is showing us again is that any functional refuge that we may look to in this life is no match for the true and greater refuge we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus. So he chooses God above everything else. Verse 2, he says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have nothing good besides you. Well, we might read that and say, well, I'm sure you have some good other good things in your life, right? Of course, he's speaking comparatively. He's saying, compared to the glory and greatness of God, nothing compares. There's no one like him. There's nothing else like him. God is his supreme treasure. If he doesn't have God, he's got nothing. And you and I, friends, we need God often more than we realize. We ultimately have no firm foundation without him. There's nothing we need more. All our functional refuges in our life will pale in comparison compared to the firm foundation that is our Lord and Savior. And I was struck this week just thinking about this freshly. Like the miracle it is in our lives if we know God as a refuge. A.W. Tozer said this, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What he meant by this is this. This is what he meant by that, is that your relationship with God is the most important thing about you. And so the kind of relationship you have with God is tethered to what you think about God when you think about it. So many of us will know God as a judge and a sovereign and something else that makes him big and out there. And of course, he is many of those things. But to call God a refuge says something amazing. It says you understand that he's near and close, that you can count on him, that you can place your life in his hands, that you can trust him, that he's safe, that you can run to him. This is the unique blessing, I would argue, of Christians. Because we can run to him without fear. We don't have to be afraid that he's going to secretly let us in, but then, you know, give us battle, show us what's up. Just quickly, in Christ, you have been fully accepted. He has done everything needed for you when you place trust in Christ to be able to run with him, run to him without fear. You can know God as a refuge. What a blessing. The second blessing in this psalm is that Christians know God's family as a home. Verse 3 says, as for the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones. All my delight is in them. Right, he's speaking of the holy people, the saints of God. And it's so important here to recognize the posture of David's heart towards the church. He's saying, all my delight is in them. Like, delight may not be, I don't know, the word you use to describe the church. Maybe you'd use more colorful language than that. I'm not sure. I don't know what you've been through. Maybe in all seriousness, you've been hurt. Or maybe you've just been let down. We all carry so much baggage with us. But the truth is, God has purposed his body, the church, for our blessing. And David is saying he delights in God's people. Why should we delight in the church? What will help us delight in the church again? Well, of course, it's not because we're amazing, right? It's because he is amazing. He's done an incredible thing in his people. Again, these testimonies we heard, this is the stories of grace. That's why the church is amazing. Everyone in this room has a story of how God in his grace has met you and changed you forever. How good is that? So as we look around the room this morning, why are you here? What qualified you to be in God's church? Right? Nothing is the answer. Absolutely nothing in us. We are here because and only because God has done an absolute miracle in our lives. And is doing, maybe even this morning or at this moment, a miracle in your life, in saving you and changing you. It's a miracle that God has made us his family. It's all of grace that Jesus has done what we could never do for ourselves, that our trajectory in ourselves, the trajectory of our lives was not looking good. But Jesus intervened and changed us forever and saved us. You see, the gospel for us is a miracle. We were lost and now we're found. We had no hope. Now we have hope in Jesus. We were orphans, the Bible says. Now we're children of God. It's amazing. Just look around the room. If you take a moment to look around the room, if you're a new year, I'm praying that in the weeks to come, if you come back, you make your home with us, you'll get to know the testimonies of the people sitting around you. For those of you who've been here for a while, you look around the room and take time just to remember the story of grace and what God has done in someone else's life. How can we leave here, you know, underwhelmed with grace? Never. Grace is overwhelming. It's so good. Thank you, Jesus, you've poured out grace on us. Our lives are an incredible testimony to each other. Another thing that's so amazing about God's family is that without Jesus, we would really have no reason to be together in the same room. Right? Many of us have nothing in common other than Jesus. We're at different life stages. We look different. We live in different areas. We have different hobbies, different interests. We have different work in different industries. We would have no reason to be unified. But what Jesus has done in his grace is he's made us family. And if you're in Christ, even this church can become a home to you. God's family becomes a home to us. A third blessing of a life placed in the hands of God is that we get to know God's hand as a comfort. See, now David takes time in the psalm to recognize the sovereign kindness of God over his life. And he kind of summarizes it in verse 5 there where he says, you hold my future. But all our days are held in the grip of God. Maybe you've heard that saying, I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. That's what David's saying here. You hold my future. Our jobs, our family, our relationships, everything we have, everything in our lives. God doesn't just know about it, he holds it. He's involved, he's caring for us, he's providing for us. our lives are fully in His hands. And if we're honest, I think we wrestle with this, right? We struggle with this. We doubt, we wrestle, we stress. And we fail to rest in God's providence and timing in our lives. And if we give ourselves to that, discontentment can creep in. We can feel disappointed with the life we have compared to the life we'd rather have. We can grumble instead of being grateful. And sometimes we just need to take time to say, God, thank you. I would be nowhere without you. You have been so gracious to me. You've provided for me in every way. You hold our life, and it's a comfort to us, especially when things are so uncertain in our lives. God, thank you that your hand is strong and nothing can come against it. What's so amazing here, though, is that David is saying this isn't only about God being in control of our lives. It's also about God becoming the greatest love of our hearts. He doesn't just say, God, thank you for being in control and giving me all this nice stuff. Right? He says, verse 5, Lord, you are my portion. You are my cup of blessing. You hold my future. So God is his sovereign, but he's also his treasure. Now, this is what's amazing. This blew my mind in studying this psalm this week, is that these verses, verse 5 and 6, have allusions to the Older Testament before Psalms in Numbers and around that time of history when there were 12 tribes of Israel and they were becoming 12 tribes and the land was getting divided up between them, right? And so God organizes to give each tribe a piece of land. But when he gets to the Levites, this is what God says to them in Numbers 18:20. He says, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. Why? Because I am your portion and your inheritance among the people. So when David's talking about boundary lines, when he's talking about his delightful, his beautiful inheritance, ultimately he's saying it is God himself. God is the portion, the inheritance. God is the boundary lines, as it were. He's crowded us into himself. It's not just about God's blessings in our life. It's ultimately about the best blessing of knowing God himself. Not just talking about the gifts in our lives from God. He's saying knowing God is the ultimate gift. God is our beautiful inheritance. But believer, this is an encouragement to you this morning. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter how uncertain things are, no matter how shaken you may feel, no matter how much is coming up against you right now, God is your portion and your cup of blessing that nothing can come against. Nothing can change that. Fourth blessing for us in this text is that we can know God's faithfulness as a pillow. I think just having my third baby a few weeks ago, pillow, that sounds wonderful to me right now. And in verse 9, he kind of summarizes it. He says, therefore, so in light of everything else that he's just said, therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely. In many ways, this is connected to what he's just been saying. It may even sound very similar, like the same point, but it's a kind of application of everything that's come before it now. He's saying, that's why he starts in verse 9 saying, therefore, right? My heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, my body also rests securely. You can rest in God's care for us. We can rest that God will be with us. We can rest knowing that God walks with his people. You see, knowing and trusting God's faithfulness in our lives gives us rest. It's amazing there. David says it. Even his body rests securely. He's saying your worry doesn't need to keep you up at night. You can take a nap. Take a nap in peace. Why? Because God is awake. See, sometimes even our bodies keep the score, right? Of our stress and our anxiety and our worry, our stress. What he's saying is that knowing God's faithfulness in your life, resting on it, affects every part of you. It makes your heart sing and rejoice. It makes your soul and your whole being glad. And it even gives rest physically to your body. It changes everything. Because God is a rock-solid refuge. Because there's no good thing apart from him. Because he's working in his church. Because he has made himself our portion and inheritance. Because he guides us. Because he is at our right hand. Because of all these things, I'm glad in the deepest parts of my heart. I can rejoice. I can rest. God has been abundantly faithful to us. And that's what he will continue to be. Perhaps the greatest reason to rest and rejoice. Verse 10, because you will not abandon me. Says, you will not abandon me. Every step of our lives, God is with us. There's not a second, a millisecond, a split second, a step where God has turned his face on you. You're not going to suddenly slip his mind. He's not going to forget about you. If you're in Christ, you're ever before the eyes of the Lord. He knows your life. He knows what you need. He knows your situation. And he says he will not abandon you. See, his faithfulness is a pillow to help you rest. Isn't that good news? Finally, as we close, we're blessed to know the gospel as our hope. Verse 10 and 11, for you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. Now, what's amazing here about this psalm is that this is not just about David. This section particularly actually tells us this psalm is messianic. And Peter and Paul, the apostles Peter and Paul, both use this psalm to preach the gospel. And they're telling us it's about Jesus. Peter actually uses this psalm in the very first Christian sermon ever preached in Acts 2. And they're saying that all of our hope in God finds its home in the gospel. So friends, let's read, just have a look at verse 10 and 11 again in light of Jesus. Jesus was abandoned so that we'd be adopted and that we can live in the refuge of the Father. Jesus saw decay so that we can see new life. We see the path of life because he took the path of death. See, the gospel is God's hope for us. It tells us that he will continue to be faithful to us and be with us. Friends, this morning, we have every reason to rest and rejoice in the faithful, loving hands of our King Jesus. We're going to carry on doing that now in prayer, in singing, and then baptisms as we celebrate Lana. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love again this morning. Thank you for the love with which you've loved us. Each one of us sit here this morning as recipients of your outrageous grace and kindness. You have done what we could never achieve. You have given us access to yourself through forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. You have made us sons and daughters. Thank you, God, that again this morning you are a refuge to us. And we can run to you. We rush to you this morning, our refuge. God, we want to pray for everyone who may be struggling this morning, who's come in here carrying a weight they can't bear. Thank you, Jesus. You say, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you, our refuge and our rest. You give us that. We look to you. We depend on you. We trust in you. God, we morning this morning, we want to respond to you and choose you again as our portion. You are better than any treasure in this life could ever give us. There's no one like you. There is nothing like you, Jesus. All of our searching and striving for other things just is no match for you. Father, we want to pray just for an undivided heart this morning once again, that you'd help us place our whole lives in your hand. Our hopes, our dreams, and our ambitions, our faith, our trust, our families, our jobs, everything, provision, everything is in the hands of our loving Father who looks out for us, who has us, who leads us lovingly like a perfect shepherd. Thank you for the joy and the gladness and the rest that that gives to us. We pray this morning we'd celebrate your grace and kindness and just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your unwavering faithfulness to us in every moment.